Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this moment and ask for your Spirit to continue to lead and guide. Lord, these are very important and even frightening times in which we're living. And we need to understand that there's a preparation needed. So I want the calming and the peace of heaven to fall upon all of us here, including me, Lord. Me, so that the thoughts you've given would come out concisely and clearly. And the congregation, that their minds and hearts will be open to receive. And we will take a step higher, Lord, in our relationship with you because of it. And also be ready for what is soon going to happen. Soon, very soon. So use me now in spite of me. And may you get the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Apocalypse 2012. Are you familiar with that? Well, I want you to know it's all over the television set. The New Year's hasn't even come, and the History Channel and Discovery, those are two channels I watch. I don't even know about the other channels, have already run programs on this. Apocalypse 2012. The Mayans view time and dates as a meshing spiritual cycles. The Mayan calendar was sacred and religious. Each day had its own patron saint. The Mayan grand cycle of evolution will culminate December 21st, 2012 AD. The 2012 apocalypse. This time is now, has been given many names. The time of trial on earth. The judgment day. The time of great purification. The end of this creation. The quickening. The end of time as we know it. The shift of ages. The apocalypse and Armageddon. Can you believe that? Folks, the whole world is now being buzzed with thoughts that are making them wonder what is going to happen. And 2012 stands out incredibly. In fact, check this out. Is this the asteroid 433 Eros? That's the name of the asteroid. Have you named an asteroid lately? 433 Eros. You know, Nostradamus said something about asteroids. And of course, Nostradamus, I mean, I can't believe how his name pops up everywhere on the internet. I can't believe people even listen to the stuff he wrote. Vague as can be, but yet there's little hints there that everybody grabs onto. There is an asteroid called 433 Eros, the first discovered. It's called Near Earth Asteroid. And we got to get you up to date here. NEA. Okay? When you hear NEA, you go, oh, Near Earth Asteroid. Okay, we got that. Smashing through our atmosphere. Eros is one of the few NEAs with a maximum diameter greater than 10 kilometers. It is believed to be larger than the impactor, the one that hit in the Yucatan Peninsula, which has been linked to the apocalypse, extinction of the dinosaurs. Not the flood. Isn't this great? Check this out. On January 31st, 2012, Eros is expected to pass the Earth. Is this the 2012 apocalypse? By the way, on there you see the age of Aquarius. I couldn't believe this in reading. I want you to listen carefully. The ruler of Aquarius is Uranus. Its symbol represents water, a universal image which dates back into prehistory. This will also be recognized in the Egyptian hieroglyphic representing the same. The association in Aquarius is that of the servant of humanity, pouring out the water of knowledge to quench the thirst of the world. Well, listen. To create this age of beauty and splendor after the year 2012, one has to destroy. When we can clearly observe this, the zodiacal sign of Aquarius, this is the dawn of the new age. Aquarius is the house of Uranus and Saturn. Uranus is the revolutionary, terrible, catastrophic planet. Saturn reminds us of chaos, the return to the point of the origin of departure. Undoubtedly, the transition from the age of Pisces, this is what really blew my mind. Our present age, see, we're under the zodiac here, folks. You see this? Visitors, I don't believe in the zodiac, okay? Astrological signs, no, I'm getting to this. I can't believe it. To the age of Aquarius will be earth-shattering. Pisces the fish has come to symbolize the age of Christianity. Is the age of Pisces symbolic of the great world Savior Jesus Christ coming to an end? With the arrival of Aquarius age, the Aquarian age, does humanity begin to enter into heaven, the spiritual kingdom? Does the water bearer water the earth for growth after the destruction and baptize the survivors with love, knowledge, enlightenment? Cleanse the people of old ways and truth. Or will Aquarius signal the loss of belief in Christianity in a transition and transition another belief? Have you heard of the prophecy of the popes? Man, this was so incredible. By the way, I do preach from the Bible, but I felt this was important to set the stage. The prophecy of the popes is attributed to Saint Malachi. No, that's the Italian pronunciation. He's Irish. Malachi. In the 12th century, Bishop of Arf in Ireland. According to tradition, in 1139, Saint was summoned to Rome by Pope Innocent III. While in Rome, Saint Malachi purportedly experienced a vision of future popes, which he recorded as a sequence of cryptic phrases, systematically recording the names of 112 popes into the future. This manuscript was then deposited in the Roman archive, and thereafter forgotten about until its rediscovery in 1590. Saint Malachi implies that Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger's chosen name would be Benedict. Did you get that? They claim that he said Benedict back in 1139. Listen. Which is the fulfillment of the prophecy of the 111th Pope. Prophecy dictates that our present Pope, Pope Benedict XVI, is our second to last Pope whose death will signal the 112th, last and final Pope, Peter of Rome. I thought they should say Peter of Paradise. But no. They claim he wrote this in 1139, that the second to last pope would take the name Benedict, and that the next pope would be the last one. And by the way, Benedict looks like he's on his last legs, right? Okay, so that means that in 2012, it's likely that this new pope, the 112th, will show up, Peter of Rome, and he is the last pope. I didn't finish this, did I? That's because you can go on the internet and read it. Folks, I'm telling you, it's crazy out there. People do not know what to believe. They're scared. They're searching. They're confused. And they're getting all kinds of garbage. And then if that wasn't enough, on the Discovery Channel, following Apocalypse 2012, came an hour-long program entitled The Year the Earth Went Wild. That's what they labeled 2011. And they highlighted all the earthquakes, floods, fires, tornadoes, tsunamis, hurricanes, volcanoes, and other natural disasters that happened on such a frequency and caused so much damage as never before. And now many scientists are wondering, is this the sign that there's soon going to be a change? We Christians cannot afford to be caught on our flat feet as all of society is wondering and all of society is puzzled and all of society, many are frightened because of all the pundits and all the prognosticators and the things they're saying. So I invite you to take your Bible with me right now, open to Matthew 24, and we're going to read verses 37 and 39, because the title of this sermon is, But There Were So Many. Matthew 24, 37. Children, open your Bibles. Matthew 24, 37. Follow along as we read three verses, what Jesus said to His disciples in a private interview just before He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and the cross of Calvary. Matthew 24, 37, here's what my Bible says. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Can you imagine that Jesus looked at them and He said, people, Tanchut, in Matthew 24, which is entitled in every single Bible that's ever been printed, Jesus talks about the last days. He said it will be just as it was in Noah's day. So let's take a short look at Noah's day and see how we fare and where we stand. And let's discover what we can do about it. First of all, children, I thought it would be good to show you some fairly accurate scientific renderings of what the Bible says the ark looked like. Children, are you looking at that? Most, if not all, of the commentators believe the ark was really a rectangle. It did not have pointy ends because it wasn't built for sailing through the water. It was built to stay afloat during the crisis that was attending it. You can see that there are three decks, the lower, the middle, and the upper where the people lived. The lower and middle is where the animals lived. It was made of gopher wood, which was a very strong wood, and it was covered with pitch. Here's a picture of the France, in case you can't see that. And by the way, I don't even know what the France is, but we all know what Queen Elizabeth I is, right? And then under that is Queen Mary. And then under that is the United States. I didn't know there was a ship called the United States. But under that is Noah's Ark in comparison to these. You can see that it was a very large vessel. Now, it's interesting that from the cubits that are quoted in the Bible, the dimensions are 30 by 5 by 3. The length is 30, the width is 5, and the height is 3. Now listen to this. I thought this was really interesting. Children, shipbuilders all agree that this ratio represents an advanced knowledge of shipbuilding, since it is the optimum design for stability in the rough seas. Yeah. Now, by the way, whether that is You know, there's an argument on how big the cubit was, okay? But let me just make it simple. The ark was at least 450 feet long, and it's possible it was 500 feet or plus a little bit. And then believe me, at that time, no one had a boat, much less one that was 500 feet long. And the antediluvians, check this out. I want to tell you about them. I'm trying to figure out why that slide is there. Oh, well, I'll just repeat myself and you'll all be happy because you'll remember this part more than any other part. When you look at the story in Genesis of the building of the ark, you will discover, or you have to come to grips with this fact, that the antediluvians in those days, they were many giants, men of great stature and strength, renowned for what? Wisdom and skill in devising the most cunning and wonderful works. By the way, why did God flood the earth and destroy them all? Evil, wickedness, corruption, it was at its height. So they were using all this incredible mental power to do what? To do evil. And what does the Bible say? Evil continually, right? No respect for anything. Marriage, nothing. If a man wanted somebody else's wife and he was stronger, he'd go take her. I mean, it's incredible. And by the way, part of that ferocity of those intelligent, incredible, huge beings who were just off the hand of the Creator from Eden were meat eaters. And that's why they were so fierce. That's a fact. I know that didn't offend anybody in here. It is true. And so I want you to know this. Number one, the evidence they had was these. First of all, increased lawlessness. I mean, everything was going berserk. Number two, for 120 years, Noah preached and built that ark. They sat there. They listened. They heard him. They went to look at it. Their curiosity brought them back every once in a while. And they saw that this man, in 120 years, didn't waver one iota. And by the way, as time passed, more and more joined in ridiculing and mocking, humiliating and making open fun of Noah. But they had 120 years. They also saw the beast come, two by twos, husband and wife, seven clean, two unclean, marching out of the woods in perfect order. We're told in Patriarchs and Prophets, angels were guiding them. They're standing there going, and all of a sudden here come the birds from every direction. And they're all going without assistance from Noah or anybody else into the ark. They saw it. Number four, we are told an angel, a bright, shiny being, came down and closed the door in front of all of them. And then we have Adam's genealogy. The antediluvians had these five at least, and maybe some of you are quick and faster than my mind, and you think of other evidences they had that something was going to happen and they should do something about it. By the way, let's take a look at the genealogy. Did we say these men were very, and women were very wise? Did we? They were. Check this out. By the way, children, don't get scared. This, believe it or not, is a sculpture of what they suggest Methuselah looked like, because he was what? The oldest living man, okay? As my wife would say, when I get to that point, Peter, shoot me. That's what my wife would say. Are you ready? Because in the Hebrew, names mean everything. And I want to show you something that perhaps you never saw. Number one, Adam means man. Number two, Seth means placed or appointed. Number three, Enos means wretched, fallen man. Canaan means lamenting. Mehaleli means the blessed Lord. Jared means shall descend or coming down. Enoch means teaching, dedicated, discipline, obedience unto death. Methuselah means his death shall bring. Lamech means power, and Noah means rest and comfort. Now stop for a moment, look at the meaning of those names, and notice what God did to the antediluvians who had such great minds. He said this, man has been appointed on the earth, but he is fallen. And because of that, there's lamentation. But the blessed Lord shall descend and send a teacher who will obey unto death and have a son named Methuselah, and his name means his death shall bring. Shall bring what? Shall bring what? And then Noah will bring rest and comfort. By the way, you know what most of the commentators believe Methuselah means his death shall bring the flood. They knew that. And what did they do about it, folks? Come on, tell me, what did they do about it? How many got on the ark? Anybody else getting a chill right now up your back? Who am I to think I'm in that group and that I would have stood up in front of this massive, huge crowd? You think we're talking about 100, 200, 300 people? We're talking about million. Methuselah lived 669 years and had sons and daughters. And they all knew about this. And they all came to hear. And they all came to see. And they all experienced all this. They knew Methuselah's name. Some scientist figured it out and mentioned. By the way, you know that name that when he dies, it will come? And what did they do about it? Come on, all of you, what did they do about it?
Nothing.
Nothing. And where did we get the title of the sermon? But there were so many. Because it says some were deeply convicted from Noah's preaching. Would have heeded the words of warning. But there were so many to jest and ridicule that they partook of the same spirit. And 8 people were saved. Are you ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ? Are you heeding the warning signs which other people are starting to sense, even though it's from sources that are bogus? By the way, I thought it was incredibly interesting. The age of Aquarius is water being poured out. Okay? Every plague in Egypt was a mockery of a god they worshipped. Okay? And what's the one natural resource that's absolutely vital that is almost gone from the face of the earth? Pure water. And God is telling us something. The age of Aquarius, water being poured out. There's not going to be any clean water pretty soon at the rate we're going and what we're doing. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, Lord, am I going to be like the antediluvians? And then I thought, my church, are they ready for what's coming? Do they realize, no matter how nonsensical some of these prognostications may be, they still are clues and hints that something is coming soon. What are we doing about it? Are we getting on our knees? Are we spending time with Jesus? Are we separating ourselves from sin? Are we more and more like the world, which I see clearly in my spiritual eyesight every single day? We dress like them. We act like them. We talk like them. We recreate like them. We attend the same functions and we come to church. And believe it or not, it's natural, human nature. You bring it to the church and even try to incorporate it in the church. And we've got worship services that are geared for the people who aren't even religious. And then when you don't do it, there's pressure brought upon you to conform to the cultural demands. We could get more people here, Pastor, and more money. Well, first of all, we're not here because of money. And secondly, we want to get all the people we can, but we want the ones that we do get are the ones that say, you know what, I love Jesus Christ with all my heart, and I want to enter the struggle that you're in right now to try to improve and do better, and to especially throw off the yoke of the world, which is entangling all of us at a horrific rate. And we actually are in the same position as the antediluvians were when they, with their brilliant minds, had all those evidences, and yet 8 people got on the ark. Now, I want to say something very encouraging here to the parents. Parents, I want you to know something. Was Noah the majority? Did they respect Noah? Who did he save? Yes! His own family! Isn't that wonderful news, folks? Can't we rejoice over that? Noah's 120 years of suffering and patience and toil, ridicule, mocking and torture, all paid off because his 8 kids and their wives and his wife got on the ark. And he wanted the whole group to get on the ark, but his reward was his family. Are you a parent? What price are you paying to make sure your children get on the ark? We've got to get off the internet. We've got to get out of TV. We've got to get out of the videos. We've got to get out of the movies. All those attractive things. Why are they so attractive? Because Satan has taught man how to use technology in such a way that I love to watch some of this stuff. I can't believe they can do that. And what did I do? Just wasted 2 hours watching murder, rape, pillage, plunder, killing. And pretty soon I go, well, there's a dead man on the street. I've seen that before. Instead of my heart crying for the iniquity that abounds all around us. Are we like the antediluvians? I hope not. I don't want you to be. I don't want to be. Well, what's the answer? Because it's obvious that even the atheists are sensing something horrific is coming. I'm going to tell you what the answer is. But God will have a people upon the earth to maintain the what? And the only. The opinion of learned men. The deductions of science. The creeds and decisions of ecclesiastical councils, unless it's me. The voice of the majority. Not one nor all of these should be regarded as evidence for or against any point of religious faith. Then it happens to be none but those who have fortified their minds with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last day, the last conflict. And by the way, on the podium out there, the greeting table, I believe, am I right, Robert? There are the reading through your Bible in 1 year form. If you have finished your Bible this year, by the way, I haven't finished my Bible, but I'm still working on it. I want you to get the form. If you didn't do it last year, get it this year. Start reading through your Bible. Follow the form. It tells you how many chapters to read, where to read, and then you'll accomplish reading through your Bible in 1 year. And the benefits are that when we open the Word of God prayerfully, the Spirit of God descends upon us and it strengthens us to fight against the world and the inroads that it's made on every one of us that has deadened to some degree the spiritual nature that we need at this time to be strengthened, not weakened. So what is the answer? The Bible. To make that your sole source of inspiration and guidance. And then as the Spirit leads you to read something else, you include it. But the Bible is the centerpiece. Well, look at that. That's our fellowship, Paul. That's the best that my camera phone could do to show the beautiful decorations in anticipation of a packed house tonight of individuals seeking to try to start the New Year's in a spiritual way and not imbibing the foolishness that is going on when people are excitedly and expectantly welcoming a new year and they haven't stopped to think that we have delayed the second coming of Jesus Christ yet one more year. Come and join us. And our prayer is that the Spirit of God will help all of us to get more courage and more strength for Jesus, so that instead of rejoicing over 8 individuals, He will rejoice over millions. And let's make paradise the focal point of that spiritual center that from here goes out everywhere, a challenge to be with Jesus Christ and to forego the world. Father in heaven, as we close, I pray for your Spirit to convict each one of us of whatever is needed for the new year. Don't let anyone leave here without making some decision, Lord, in prayer to you. And Lord, I'm wondering as I'm praying here, I'd like to pray with people after church. And I've got some of our prayer warriors that are going to come forward during the last stanza of the closing hymn and stand up here with me. And I want anybody in this congregation who senses their need for prayer, for anything, not just the new year, that you would come up to one of the warriors that will be standing up front when we close this service, and that together they will pray for the new year's. Lord, touch hearts and minds of those who will benefit from this ministry. And don't let us hesitate to come forward, Lord. And then, Father, help the rest of the congregation as they depart to depart as quiet as possible, so that the prayers offered up here will be unhindered. So blessed to this end, Lord, and thank you. You're such a good God. Thank you for your graciousness. Because we pray in Jesus' name, we know you'll answer, and we thank you for it. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.